I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting The Highland Fling by Megan Quinn. Are you ready? Okay, so Megan Quinn is probably, I think I could say this for both of us, one of our favorite rom-com authors. Right?
Agreed.
I love her stuff. And we had this planned to record The Highland Fling. And then, lo and behold, Megan Quinn just released a new book, Royally Not Ready. So we're actually going to, which we both already read. So we're going to do two parts of this podcast. We're going to release two separate episodes. So this episode will be on The Highland Fling. And then we'll also have one on Royally Not Ready. And tell us why, Cheryl, because they're kind of a little similar in a way.
They kind of are. It's going to be a Megan Quinn double feature today. Well, they both are Megan Quinn. That's number one.
That's a given.
Yeah, that's a given. They both have castles. Mm-hmm. They both mention the Loch Ness Monster and men in kilts. And they both center around American girls falling for grumpy men with British accents.
There we go. So
sounds pretty good.
Just what we like, right? So yeah. Yes, we're going to chat The Highland Fling for this episode. But I can't remember who introduced me to Megan Quinn, but I've read so many of her books at this point, and I just love her. I feel like no one does a rom-com quite like her. They're all funny.
She has a distinctive voice.
Very much so. They're all very funny. It's exactly what you need for like a lighthearted, don't really have to think much about it, right? Like just something that's going to make you laugh and also, you know, give some good
make you
scenes. Yeah. She's like known for
desire.
Yeah, but I do want to ask. So I loved The Highland Fling, but there's so many other books by Megan Quinn that I love. Do you have a favorite? What is it?
Oh, that's hard. Okay, so first I can say who introduced me to Megan Quinn because it was you.
Oh,
yep, 100% it was you. And that it was Megan Quinn who actually got me signed up for Kindle Unlimited because her books are all there.
I know.
Yeah.
Like a Megan Quinn, you know, like encyclopedia book.
Bonanza. You can just go one after the other after the other. I don't even know how many books she has published. Do you? It's dozens, right?
I have not even touched the surface of her book.
Yeah, me too. I keep trying to fit in books from her back catalog, like as I'm reading other things. What you said, that they're fun, they're silly, they're happy, they're lighthearted. There's a lot of goofy comedic scenes in them. So they're a great palate cleanser, like after I've read something like
heavy.
How about a Colleen Hoover?
Yes.
That like rips my heart out a little bit. Then I'm like, okay, I need a break from that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
read a Megan Quinn to make me laugh. Yeah. Exactly. That is exactly. That's why I just read her new one. I just finished two other books that I need you to hurry up and finish reading so we can.
They're next on my list, I promise.
Okay, good. Oh, so many good things there. But they were not lighthearted, funny, haha, you know? So I was like, okay, I need to switch this up. I need to go back to Megan and then I can go.
Well, this is different. I just got back from Scotland.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons we chose Highland Fling for this. And I'm so excited to talk about that a little bit. But I was reading I only read a couple of books, three books specifically on my trip because the days were so packed.
Yeah.
I would listen to
I'm
a book,
so audiobook.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the planes, really. All I read was the planes there and back. And then I listened to an audiobook to go to sleep. So I listened to Clanlands by Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish. Yeah.
So I love that on Audible. You did that on Audible?
Audible, yes.
I feel like that's the only way to do it because you
hear them. Need their voices and their banter back and forth. And it's all about Scotland, right? Mm-hmm. So that was perfect for me. Voice. So I listened to that sort of when I had, it's not a storybook, it's an almanac, right? So they go through like, center on different places and events and foods and different things about Scotland. So it was perfect for my evenings when I was just like decompressing in the hotel. But my plane reads were Reminders of Him by Colleen Hoover, which we're going to talk about live next week. And that is not lighthearted. And I read it on the airplane and I cried.
Yes. I'm sorry. I should have warned you. I cried.
But I couldn't stop reading. I had to take breaks occasionally and like, breathe.
That's another one we're going to do on here because it's worthy of it.
It's great. And then it was this one. I'd already read Highland Fling, but I reread it.
Yeah.
So because it was the perfect thing. It fit right in. I went to the town that she based it on. It was just the perfect counterpoint. So if you ask me my favorite, like right at the second, this one's going to rate pretty high because it's so accurate. Like I was just there. And so much of the stuff she mentions, talks about, describes, it's accurate.
Did you see Harry Coos?
So I love that. Yeah, I sure did.
I love it.
I sure did. And I'm going to share some on our page. I've actually collected a lot of, guess how many photos I came home with? Well, photos and video. Just, let's say, just on my phone. So not including my husband's phone, not including our GoPros.
Oh.
Just guess. Throw it out there.
1,000.
5,000.
You took 5,000? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You need to make like a book or something.
5,000 photos and video. I know I've been going through them, but I took a bunch that are so applicable to this book. So I'm going to put them together in a little video for our listeners.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll release that to our Patreon first and then I'll put it up on our Instagram. But yeah, I definitely saw the Coos. I got to pet Coo.
Oh, they're so cute. I loved that. That was one of my, yeah, that part made me, you know, there's a lot with the Harry Coos in this book. This is one of my favorite Megan Quinns too, out of all that I've read. I think because so much of it reminded me of our mutual love for Outlander, right? Mm-hmm. So loved this one. But I also just want to call out The Mother Road. If you guys if you have not read The Mother Road by Megan Quinn yet, I have never laughed so hard at a book before. My husband was like, are you okay? Do you know when you laugh so hard, you're basically shaking and nothing's coming out? That was me. In so many parts of the book, my husband kept looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And you can't even explain it because it's
no, because
like,
if you try to, they're like,
they're not going to think it's funny. They're not in the book with you, you know?
Oh, that's right.
But yes, that, so this,
it was so good. You know,
The Mother Road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those would be my
so favorite. We have that one covered on our page, The Mother Road. Yes. And when you first recommended it to me and I started it, you know, it deals with a girl who's lost her mom. And that's a big trigger point for me lately. But you were like, stick with it. I did. I'm so glad I did. It was actually really healing to be able to kind of go through that experience again and be triggered by it, but also still find the lighthearted, still find the comedy. Like I talked a bit about that on our page and with people who DM'd actually and were like, you know, I'm not sure about it because of this storyline. Yeah. And I was like, no, actually, I can attest to that. It was really healing to read through. So I'm still love so that. Thankful for that one.
Yeah. And again, to laugh in the process of it.
Yes. And then I'm also a big fan of her Vancouver Agitator series. That one's quite new. There's only two books so far. But they actually she references it.
She does. Yes.
In the new book, Royally Not Ready, which we'll talk about later. But because of course I live in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So how can I not love hockey players from Vancouver?
love a hockey series. So
yeah, we do.
Too. We do love that.
Yeah.
Hockey, anything related to Scotland, you know, anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is our winning recipe.
Yeah, it really is. I know.
Yeah.
Speaking
of recipes.
Oh, what are you drinking?
I mean, I'll give you one guess. I just got home from Scotland. We're talking about yes.
Oh, there we go. What do you have?
I had to go with whiskey. It's my giant duty-free bottle this time.
Ooh, gotta love a duty-free, you know?
Yes, it's called Loch Lomond. It's a whiskey we enjoyed in Scotland, so we brought some to come home with us. So I'm just having it with ice because, you know, it's an afternoon right now, so I'm just making a little more of a sessionable drink. Mm-hmm. But I had a wonderful, wonderful whiskey experience in Scotland, Lauren. You would have loved it. Even though I know you're not the biggest whiskey fan.
I know. Well, you know, I've developed a taste for it.
Well, you would have loved this.
I prefer a margarita, but you know.
Yeah, I'm a fan of a margarita too. Yeah. But this was like Disneyland for whiskey.
Ooh. That's fun.
It was super fun. So we had like the intimate tasting experiences at little distilleries, that kind of thing. Very purist, very like, you know, educational. This was edutainment. It was at Johnny Walker in Edinburgh. It was, they're calling it the Johnny Walker experience. And it's like a series of rooms. You have a guide that takes you through. Our guide's name was Fraser.
Get out.
No.
See, I love that. That's funny.
That's an Outlander reference, you're
totally
not sure.
An Outlander reference. There's a lot in the Highland Fling, too.
There is.
Bonnie.
But you go through these rooms and it's like there's light shows and storytelling and it's just and sense like there. I mean, I can't even describe it. It was like a 4D experience through the building. And you end up tasting several things. I had whiskey combination I never thought to try before. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the ones I really liked, I'm actually going to put up on our Patreon.
Please
for people to try, because they were surprisingly tasty. Johnny Walker has never been my go-to whiskey. And I'm totally self-classifying as a whiskey snob now, because you just think of Johnny Walker as like your dad. It's what my husband's dad used to drink. But it was delicious. They're doing some really forward-thinking things. And it was, awesome. My husband was like, this is entirely Disney.
That's really cool. I have relatives that love Johnny Walker. I never really understood all the labels, you know, the blue label, the black label, you know, all that.
I can tell you more about that. I was going to say, you probably, the experience.
Exactly. You probably know way more about
that. I'll tell you one tiny fact that I was really impressed by. So Johnny Walker obviously started his distillery. The first brand that he acquired, like, because now they own like tons and tons and tons of brands under their umbrella, right? But the first one he acquired is a brand called Cardew, and it was run by two women.
Get out.
Yeah.
Power to the women. Look at that.
That's right.
Very cool.
Love it. And it was a very sought after whiskey. So
interesting.
I quite liked that story.
That's very fun. I'm glad you had such a good time. I wish I was there with you guys, but.
Oh man, we're already planning another one. So you've got to come the next time.
I will try my hardest to come. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm jealous and I want to pet a hairy coo. So.
Oh, they're so cute. Although what the girl was very sweet and cute. There was a boy there. So there was a girl coo called Honey, and a boy coo called Hamish Dhu. So Dhu meaning black in Gaelic.
Okay.
And he was a little intense. He actually, you know how the hairy coos, the Highland cows, they have these big horns.
Yeah.
And we were like touching them and feeding them through this little fence. And he like cracked down with his big horn on top of my friend's husband. It was a rainy day that day, so he had an umbrella and it like clocked him. He had like a huge mark on his forehead. God.
Oh no.
Attacked by a coo.
Oh my gosh.
I guess he wasn't feeding him fast enough or something. I don't know.
But... Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
So beware. Approach with caution.
Beware of hairy coos.
Yeah. But shall we talk a bit about the book about Scotland here now?
Yes, because it sounds like there's so many things in this book that I feel like just go right alongside your trip.
And if I'm not wrong, I believe that Megan wrote this before ever going to Scotland.
Yes.
She has now been since.
Yes. She wrote that in the acknowledgments. They were, she was recently in Scotland because I remember
she was
following
just there.
Along.
Yeah.
Earlier this year. I mean, I love, you really felt like you were there with this as far as like the very picturesque setting. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's a place I want to visit as well. So anything related to it, I'm like, ooh, you know. But yeah, I found that interesting that she actually had not been there. And then I enjoyed watching her trip recently. That was only like a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So at the time we're recording.
Yeah, I think she got back a few weeks before I left.
Yes. Yes.
So it was fun to watch. And I noted a couple of like destinations on my personal list after watching her go. But the basic story in this one is an American girl named Bonnie, which is, I mean, how appropriate for Scotland.
Bonnie lass. Yep.
Bonnie means pretty. Yeah. She's talked into moving to Scotland for 6 months by her best friend, Dakota. They're both in kind of like a weird lull, recent breakups, have been evicted from their apartment. Bonnie has no job. As she self-classifies, she's sad lady status. So Dakota thinks this would be a good way to kind of just get out of town literally for a while and reset and find themselves and have fun. So they answer this ad to take care of a coffee shop in a small town in the Scottish Highlands for 6 months. They go. So it's about them. It's about the Scot that she meets named Rowan, or AKA Kilty McGrumpyshire is what she calls him. There's a goat named Fergus and a coffee shop called the Hairy Coo.
Which again, it's so Fergus. There's so much I could tie to Outlander in this whole book. Like I had to ask Megan, are you an Outlander fan?
Like I don't know if she is. I don't.
You gotta get her on here. Mention that would be my first question. Are you an Outlander fan? Because there's just so many references, like Fergus the goat. Obviously, he's not a goat in Outlander, but you get what I'm saying.
The town that they go to is called Corsicelli, and that's fictional. But Megan actually has said she's based on a real town named Dorney. And I was in Dorney And everything she says about like the roads you need to get there, what the lake that it's near, the castle, the other nearby towns, those are all real. So the only thing that's not real is the name Corissa Kelly and of course the people and whatever in it. Right. But everything surrounding that, she did some good research.
Accurate. Did you see any Kilty McGrumpyshires there?
I saw some Kilty men. Okay. I can't say I got close enough to find out if they were McGrumpyshires. I was traveling with my husband, remember? That's
true. You saw lots of kilts, though, you know, right?
I did see kilts, yeah. Predominantly, I would say it was the tour guides who were wearing kilts, but I did occasionally just see a dude out walking in a kilt, and I was like, oh, look at that.
There you go.
it's very attractive.
Yes, it is.
When I picture Bonnie, she's like described as just, you know, blonde, blue eyes, attractive woman. Mm-hmm. When I picture Rowan, his full name is Rowan McGregor, which makes me think Ewan McGregor, like yes, automatically, because yeah, he's one of my top Scottish man crushes. But I actually picture Finnan from The Last Kingdom when I think of him. Who I know is actually Irish, but he does a good Scottish accent. That's who I picture. I am a big Finnan fan.
Same. Oh, I need that to come back.
Oh, no, wait. I got that backwards. He's Scottish, but he does Irish for The Last Kingdom, right?
I don't know, actually. I just know he's got an accent and it's hot.
Yeah.
And I love
He did this funny reel where he did like a Scottish versus Irish accent. Was like real life versus his character.
The Last Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I got that wrong. I think he's actually Scots.
That's okay.
But I can see that makes it even better.
That's a great. Yeah. Finnan. If you don't know what we're talking about.
The dark hair.
Highly recommend watching The Last Kingdom on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes. Yes.
One of the only shows I watch. Anyway. But
no men in kilts there.
Yeah.
Wowza.
That's okay. It's still a fantastic show. But yeah, so he's got the green eyes, brown hair, the tattoo. This actually reminds me of my husband.
Yeah, he got you with that tattoo sleeve, didn't he?
He did, the tattoo sleeve. Love the tattoo sleeves. But my husband, he's not Scottish. He's Irish. McBride.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, pretty
little
close
of,
there, though. That's
a little
bit
of Irish.
Apart.
Mm. Yeah. So close enough. We still were killed.
Yeah. So the connection there is that it's Rowan's parents who own the coffee shop that they've hired Bonnie and Dakota come run. Unbeknownst to him. So they arrive, they're staying in his parents' sort of guest cottage. They have an unexpected meeting, Bonnie in a towel.
Right. Yes.
It doesn't go that well. They're a little bit of, you know, not quite enemies, but they're definitely have a tense relationship at first that they have to get through.
Yeah. I always love the enemy to lovers trope, though.
That's yeah,
what this is, you know, it always makes for a good trope.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Actually, both books that we're going to talk about today have a bit mm-hmm. of that vibe.
Yeah.
But it's a good one because then they've got the passion, right?
Yes.
You know?
Like always so that good when they come together. Yes.
Uh-huh.
The angst.
Yep, know. Yep. There's a lot of pent-up energy there.
Exactly.
I feel like this book has a little bit of like a Bridget Jones vibe when we first start because each chapter is either from Bonnie's or Rowan's point of view. And it starts with kind of a little breakdown, like hers includes like, how many pieces of cake did I eat today? She's kind of cake obsessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many days since last male induced orgasm?
Yes.
That kind of thing. Not as obsessed with her weight as Bridget Jones. Thank
no.
But it's just got that style at the start.
I love her sass, though. That's what I love about a lot of Meghan Quinn's characters is they are strong, fun, just sassy women, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And again, uh-huh. coming into the lives of grumpy men. And it's just always
that's
a
right.
combination.
So. And usually very, very sex positive women.
Always, which I love.
Yeah. Right? She mm-hmm. doesn't ever treat sex with shame.
Never.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, these women know what they want. There's usually a vibrator with them.
They sure do. Yep.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> And there's actually a bit in this book, I think, where Rowan comments on that, on Bonnie's confidence and that she, you know, is not afraid to say what she wants and whatever. And he finds that even more attractive about her.
Yes.
So in the book, they get the position, they drive to Inverness, or they fly to Inverness, and then they drive to Corsicelli. It's a very silly, comical scenes that started all off, you know, the whole like driving on the wrong side of the road mm-hmm. thing, and trying to interpret the Scottish accent for the first time. But then when they get to Corsicelli, it's just described so beautifully, like white stone homes. It's right on the edge of a loch or a lake. Did you know, actually, fun fact. So I always thought loch, because Loch Ness, right?
Yes.
I thought loch meant lake. But I learned on this trip that loch actually just means a body of water. And it doesn't actually mean a freshwater lake. Like it can
be. I knew that.
Oh, that you're better than me. Land? I did not know that.
I feel
so
like
I knew. So I not knew all lochs are lakes, but all lakes are lochs.
Yes. I feel like
so some of them are salt water, some of them are like a sound, you know, like a where it opens to the ocean.
Yep.
And some of them are completely fresh water and landlocked, all very different. So that was a learning point for me. But in this case, the town that they're on is on Loch Duich, which is a real lake. I was there, and there's actually a castle, a historic castle on that lake called Eileen Donan. It's beautiful. So I'll post some pictures. Of
yeah,
that on
please
our page
post
as well.
Pictures in the Patreon. How cool!
And it's right near where people have usually heard of the Isle of Skye.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, like I mean, Outlander again. Mm-hmm. The whole theme mm-hmm. song is the Skye boat song. So this Isle of Skye, there's a little bridge that you can take to get to it, and the town where the bridge is from is called Kyle of Le Calche, which they visit in this book, and then Dorney is just a little further down the lake.
Very cool.
So that's kind of where we are on the west side, the Highlands of Scotland. And it really does look like all the little towns look like that. They're like the white stone. You know, they so much have like the beautiful flowers. Flowers were a huge thing, I think, because there's so much stone in Scotland. I don't think I've ever seen even locally so many like iron brackets, like hanging beside your door with flower baskets. All of your products, like your door baskets and stuff, would fit yeah. right in.
Oh, look at that.
There's so much of that. It's just beautiful. I think it's because there's so much like gray, so much stone. They like enliven it. Yeah, but it's really, really beautiful. Very small town. And the coffee shop they find out that they're going to run is really sad.
Yes.
It's so sad.
It needs some work.
It needs some work. And luckily they do that work. So they revitalize it. They find out that the town is famous because it's been used as a filming site for a TV show, which is called Iron Crowns. Basically sounds like Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And there was a site called the Bobby Stone or Penis Stone, where the main character castrated her lover who cheated on her. And now busloads of tourists come and visit this stone and reenact that scene.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you, you know?
Why wouldn't you just lay it all out there on a stone? <So funny. laughs> But the message boards online have said this coffee shop is like not worth visiting. Don't go to it. And so when they realize that, they decide to spruce it up, which they really do. They completely revitalize it, paint it, decorate it. They rename it the Harry Koo Coffee Company. She learns how to make the pastries
Yes.
Butteries. Oh my God, Lauren.
Did you try them?
I had. Yes.
I probably can't, being that they're probably filled with gluten and dairy, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. You can't.
I know. But I do hear.
There must
you know
be a way to recreate it.
No, you know what's interesting? I hear that over in, because I'm Italian, right? And so it pains me to think that when I do go back to Italy, I can't indulge. But I have heard that it's a lot different over there than it is here in the United States as far as the food. So I've heard people who have gluten and dairy intolerances going overseas and being able to indulge and not having the same effects that it has here, which
amazing.
I won't get into that, but I don't know. Maybe someone can make me feel better about it, because I would love to try a buttery. Was it good?
Yes, it was delicious. It was essentially like a flat croissant. Oh. So instead of like, it has all the same formula as a croissant, where it's like the dough and they put the butter and they fold it and they fold it and they fold it and then the butter and the folding, the butter and the folding. Mm-hmm. So you end up with like this really like thin, flaky, buttery pastry mm-hmm. and it's called a buttery.
I miss
but they were like, the one I had was square.
Okay.
So delicious. It would be highly dangerous to have in easy access. It's got to be like a third of a pound of butter in each one. But yeah, delicious. So they make those. They make tatty scones or potato scones, which were, I had those regularly. They were like always on when I got a Scottish breakfast. There was always a potato scone on it. Delicious, delicious stuff.
Potatoes. So again, someday I'll have to just give it a try when I go over there.
See what yes, happens. I'll have my fingers crossed for you I that know. That'll be. There's actually an incident. It isn't due to gluten intolerance, but at the very beginning of this book, they get welcomed by the coffee shop owner with haggis, neeps, and tatties. Mm. You know what haggis is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound that appetizing.
No.
You know, it's people say, though, if you've eaten a hot dog, you've eaten everything that's in haggis.
I guess that's true.
But I had it and it was actually delicious.
Really?
I never had it where it was gross. I had it where it was either like, meh, just not that good.
Yeah.
Up to and the delicious one, it honestly just tasted like really good Italian sausage.
Oh, really? Remind people what and it is for those who don't know what haggis is.
So it's, they take oatmeal and mix it with meat stuff. So when you have sausage, you know, it's like all the bits of stuff that are left over, right? So chop up all the bits. So there is a lot of organs that are used in in haggis. So it can have lungs, it can have heart, it can have kidneys, it can have all these things.
Yeah.
And then, a lot of protein. And it's mixed
Yeah.
And it's mixed with oats and then it's cooked in a sheep. Usually a sheep's stomach or sheep intestines, which is what sausage traditionally was as well, right? Cooked in intestines. Now we have artificial casings that we use, but that was traditional, right?
Yes.
When I had it, it was never served like that. So it was served like as if you had sort of a big roll of sausage and then sliced it. So it was like a round slice.
Yep.
Not too thick. And then sort of fried on both sides. So it was almost like a, you know, when you get like a breakfast sausage round.
Yeah, I was going to say like a breakfast sausage.
The round. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like that kind of shape and size, but tastier.
And it was good.
And it was good. Yeah. I preferred it to the blood sausage.
Okay. I don't know if I want to know what that is.
Well, it's in the name.
Oh.
It's very black. Oh. They go through the process of making it in Outlander, if you're curious. Mm. But yeah, it's a lot of cooked blood.
Okay. Yep. Nope. I'll try haggis before I try that.
Yeah. The haggis was good. Neeps and tatties is just turnips and mashed potatoes. It was delicious. But our main character, Bonnie, she does not react digestively well to this meal and must quickly visit the Scottish facilities.
Mm. That'll probably be me, but that's okay.
Well, hopefully
it happens
not.
Frequently in Meghan Quinn books. That also happens in The Mother Road.
It's a pretty comedic factor, isn't it?
You know, yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So we find out a little more over time about Rowan's family. Like his family leaves. They say they're going on vacation, his mom and dad. He thinks something else is up. He feels like maybe there's something going on with his dad, but they reassure him that there isn't. We do find out later in the book that his dad is sick with bone cancer.
They were going for treatment, don't tell Rowan. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. They were going to London to find out more and treatment, but they find out it's too late. So he actually does choose to come home and has his last days in Corsicelli, and he and Rowan have a reconciliation because they've had a rough relationship for a while. They had another son, Callum, that they lost to a tragic accident, and it kind of just created this rift that the family wasn't able to recover from for a long time. So they have some healing there in this book.
Which I think I love when books feature that because it's just so important. We've talked about that before I can't remember what episode, but just the importance of reconciliation, you know, just life short. And so I always appreciate when there is that. It's just a nice reminder, you know?
Yep. It was in,
Every Summer After?
It was Every Summer After. Yes.
Okay, that's what I
was thinking of the characters and I was like, which book was that?
Right.
Yes. Every Summer After.
Yeah.
You just never know how much time you have, right?
Right.
So
I love it.
Luckily, they reconcile. Yeah. And Bonnie and Dakota, they also have a bit of a falling out at one point during this book. They both feel kind of like they're growing apart and they also come back together. Mm-hmm. So there's that as well. So it's a bit of like a personal growth story and for Bonnie, our main character. But then we have a bit of relationship stuff as well with this like list of comedic side characters. Yeah. So we have Leith and Lachlan are a set of twins. Mm-hmm. And they're like Instagram famous. They work out in kilts.
They remind me of, that's actually a thing. Like there is.
It is.
Yes. What's their Instagram account?
It's the Kilted Yogis.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't know the Kilted Yogis, look them up on Instagram. I think they have a book now too.
But
it's men in kilts doing yoga, and it's just as good as it sounds.
Kilted Yogis. Hold on. I'm going to go and look it up right now. Kilted Yogis. We'll put that in the, yep, there we go. Oh, you follow them. Look at you. Impressive leg lift. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You guys got to check that out. But I think there might be someone else that does that too. Anyway.
Oh, there might be. I mean, I can see it being a real good gimmick.
They're very flexible. Well, anyway. Mm. At Yogis, you want to check it out.
So we have them that give a bit of comic relief. They're in the circle. We have Isla, who is the one that ends up falling for Dakota. We have Fergus the goat, who just shows up at inopportune times. You know what? The goat was the one thing I never saw in Scotland.
Really?
I saw about a gazillion sheep. I saw lots of cows, both like regular cows and the Highland cows. I never saw a goat.
And
but I'm sure they were there. But
he always comes in and just baas, right? Or no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they call it like a scream almost.
Yes.
Don't they? It's loud and piercing. But he's sort of a mascot for the town.
Yes. Yes. Which I love.
Supposedly one of his ancestors, I think, alerted the town when there was something happening. And so ever since, a descendant of the first Fergus has sort of been the honorary spokes goat.
Folks, goats. I love that. So funny. That's such again, Megan always ties in such funny things like that. It is such a comedic relief. But again, as you said before, it always ties in. I feel like I love, first off, that I love how they just like upped and were like, yeah, you know what? Why not? Sometimes I wish I did that in my life. Like, while I always say, like, if you have the chance to travel abroad, I didn't do that in my own college life, but that's one thing I do. And I don't want to say regret, but I wish I had done that, because what other opportunity, you know, you're
young.
It's
the perfect age to do
it. Yeah, you're not married, don't have kids. You know what I mean? At least in my position, why not go and travel abroad? And I love that they just do that. They just up and go and 6 months. Okay, we'll just give it a shot. And I love how, as funny and, you know, as your typical rom-com as this is, we still do see, right, like you said, their personal growth, relationship growth. And I love that. I love that there's always something like that in one of her books. There's always a happy ending for the most part, right? But there's still learning in there too.
There's often a third act breakup.
Oh, yes. Yes.
which we
had
not your favorite trope.
Not my favorite trope, but you know it's coming, you know?
They're going to get past it.
Exactly. And that's usually like the big awakening, right? Which is why I don't hate the third act, you know, because I feel the third act breakup, because that is such a big part of the story, right? So there's a falling out or, you know, whatever. And then it kind of makes them think like, oh, what am I doing? You know, and I do think
it leads to epiphanies.
Exactly. I do think it's a crucial part of the story. But I just love how I feel like, for as not serious as her books are, right, in the sense that they're funny and just very lighthearted, you can still learn so much from them just about yourself and how you can relate to those characters. So I just I love that. This book actually reminds me a lot of the general story of it. Reminds me of It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. In the sense that, sisters,
From your normal life.
Departure from the normal life.
Go to a small town.
Exactly. Kind of
fall for the grumpy guy.
Yes. Fall in love with that small town, you know, and I just.
Yeah.
So.
End up staying. Yes.
Exactly. They do. Right.
Yeah. So, that's a good comparison. Yeah, I love that. Like in here we have, you know, like you said, like we've both said, the personal growth and then relationships, both in terms of like love relationships, friendship relationships, and family relationships.
Yes.
So it's really nice multiple to see all of that. Yeah. And then comedic scenes that you just can't top. I mean, there's a one right near the beginning of this one where their water goes out and there's an ornamental well in the front yard that Bonnie doesn't realize is ornamental. So she's like, I'm a strong woman. I'm going to go out and like get a bucket of water.
Yeah.
Well, there's no water in that well. Yeah, what there is bats.
Yeah.
And so the bats cats just start coming up. And she's like screaming like, they're begging for the sweet juices of my intelligences and you won't like my blood because I'm American. It's too sour. And she's just like screaming and screaming until Rowan like comes in and picks her up. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah. I love how
she's just being a loon.
You know what else I love? I love how he says idiot.
Egypt.
Egypt. Yes. Egypt. I just love Egypt Taurus. You know,
A lot of the Scots phrases are written phonetically in this. Yes. So it's easy to hear it in your head, right? Yes. Like she also says for slanchava, which is what we say as like cheers, right?
Yes.
You say slancha or slanchava. She writes it out phonetically.
Yeah.
So it looks like slanjavar.
Which
so you get the kind of idea of how it sounds.
Yeah, it's not how it's
not at all.
At all.
Yeah. I'll write it in our show notes so you can see how it's actually spelled. But
yeah,
I like that because you can sort of get the idea of how things actually sound.
Exactly. Right. To hear the Scottish accent saying idiot, for it to just say idiot, it wouldn't be the same. So for you to read it as idiot, you know, it's just
makes
it that much better. And I'm probably doing a terrible job of saying it, but.
Well, and even like something like the hairy coo, you know, they don't in this book, she spells it COO.
Yes.
But they don't do that in Scotland unless they're doing it lightheartedly. Like there's, you know, I saw one bus company that was all called the hairy coo.
Yeah.
But usually it's cow. It's C-O-W, but they pronounce it COO. Yeah. So it's written that way in the book.
I love the Scottish accent. It's one of my favorite accents.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Love it.
I'm a big fan of it as well.
Hence why again, listening to Clanlands is that much
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Highly recommend. I feel like I have that my sound machine is the Hatch Restore. Have you ever seen that? I've shared it a little bit.
I've seen you share it.
Yeah. Okay. And so they'll have on there, they will have like guided sleeps. I feel like Sam Heughan in particular just needs to like,
really?
I would just love his voice to lull me to sleep with his Scottish.
Well, you can throw on that Audible and kind of
I
get
know,
the same
I know,
thing.
Really, I should. I should just be lulled to sleep by Clanlands. Oh, so good. Love it.
Oh, wonderful. So by the end of this book, it's, you know, again, it's the predictable rom-com ending. You always know getting into a certain style of book that they're going to end up happy and together in the end. You just don't know the journey that's going to take and all the scenes in the in-between. But when these two finally get together, it's pretty good, Lauren.
Oh, it's great. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have, you know, kind of a, third base date first, and then they have another one where they get fully intimate, and it's just written so well. I really love how she describes how she writes sex scenes. So they're not crass. They're not, you know, we've talked before about those words that get overused that
in
just get
book,
a little bit cringy.
This
book is way.
Yeah, no, I get
no.
No, she doesn't use the
cringy. Yeah, no, she doesn't use the cringy words. That's what I mean. Like she writes it so well that you can, it's not, how can I describe this well? It's like some people don't like certain words used that are a little on the more risque or blunt
side.
Yes,
that's not in this book, but I will say it's
that's not
in the next book.
It's definitely in the
next
book.
Definitely in Royally Not Ready. Woo, okay.
In our rating scale, I think we'd give this one a big red heart.
Yeah.
And in the next one, we would give it.
Ooh, that's like.
A fiery to black.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, we'll talk.
We'll
about
get there
the next episode. Wow, anyway.
But yeah, this one I just feel like it's written so well. It's not cringy. It's just beautiful, and I love it.
I have a couple of quotes that I had saved that I really liked, and actually, it ended up being the ones you probably have them highlighted too, because I think you probably read it on Kindle Unlimited. Because
sure
again,
did.
All
you
my
can see
books
on
are on there.
On KU what other people have highlighted.
Yes.
It's kind of fun.
Yes. So I'm going to read a couple that I think are just very telling. And in this one, it's Dakota. Who is it? Dakota? Yes. I think it's Dakota saying this. And it's towards the beginning. She says, you know, sometimes I think we get caught up in the idea that our jobs make or break us as humans when that's not the case at all. A job is a means to make money and provide for yourself. I think the relationships we cultivate, the energy we put out into the world, that defines us. You could be a billionaire with all the riches in the world, but that wouldn't mean your life was truly rich, right? And I love that.
I'm going to bookend that with another one.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to read the one. So this is the one that I highlighted. It's also Dakota and it's near the end of the book.
Okay. I might have it highlighted too. Yeah.
Oh, does it start with relationships don't define you?
Yes, it does. But go, you read it.
It does. So it's perfect. So it's like the same wisdom beginning and end of the book.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. No, go ahead. Read it. You read it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Relationships don't define you. They only mold you. Same goes for you. A job, a relationship, where you live, they don't define you. It's how you live your life, treat others, and take advantage of every moment presented to you.
Isn't that so great? I love that.
It's just accurate.
It's like, so accurate and a really good reminder. And again, that's what I love about her books is they're lighthearted, but you still take away these just little like gems of wisdom. Wouldn't you say?
She's got subtle wisdom.
She does. And I love it.
Or like,
I love it so much.
What's that word again? Subliminal. It's like subliminal wisdom. She just like sneaks it in there and you don't even notice you're getting a life lesson because you're all distracted by the comedy and the sex.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. But it really is so key. And I think that's just something, you know, and again, it's just something to take home, take away from the book, right? And it's so, wherever you are in your life, I feel like you can relate to that in some way, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like in this book, Bonnie and Dakota, like really found themselves like through this journey that they went on, right? And
yes.
Yeah, I just
a literal journey became like an emotional or a journey of self discovery.
Exactly. And that's what I loved so much about it. So it's just, it's such a good read. It's so fun. I loved where it took place. I love books that take place in these adorable little, you know,
small towns.
Yeah. Small town. Just, I love a small town romance. So
yeah.
And I love that you read it while in Scotland. That's so fun. And that you can have those references. I feel like it just makes the book that much better, right?
And it really impressed me with Megan's research too, because I will say occasionally I will read a book that's set, say, in the area I come from, and they'll reference, you know, like driving from this town to this town. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah,
A, there's no road there. B, that would take you 12 hours.
Like, I remember you saying that about
a little more location. Yeah, it was not Megan.
No.
but hers was not like that. I can back up everything she said in the book. I can back up. Well, obviously not the people, but the Scottish experience.
Yes, the setting where it took place and all that.
Yeah. And I have a recommendation if you really liked this book. Another book that I reread a little bit of it on my trip on the bus, but then I just couldn't. I was too busy and distracted, so I didn't finish it. But I've read it before. It's called Finding Fraser, as in Jamie Fraser, by Casey Dyer. And it's a great book about, again, a girl going to Scotland to discover herself and looking for her Scottish hottie.
Love that.
So a very similar vibe.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
We'll put all the books that we've listed, whether you are also a Megan Quinn fan or want to read something else by her or something similar to this book in general. We'll put all of that in the show notes. So
sure will.
This is a good one. This is a shorter podcast today. We're going to, like I said, we are going to also record right after this. You're going to get a double feature.
This is Megan, part one.
This is part one. You're going to get Megan's newest book, Royally Not Ready, but we're separating them for you just in case you haven't read that one yet, because that one's newer.
Right.
So again, check the show notes for all of Cheryl's recommendations. Come over and join our Patreon. She's going to include some photos and the whiskey that she tasted, right, Cheryl, over there.
Yeah, I'll include a couple of recipes there.
Yes.
And I'll give first crack of all of that to our Patreon. They'll get a little bit more than everyone else will, but I will also share some of it on our main Instagram page and on my own page. So I'll put all those links in the show notes.
Perfect. And if you don't follow us already over on Instagram, it's at Lit Chicks Read. We have a little monthly book club we do over there. We're getting ready to chat Reminders of Him, which is another book we will do a podcast episode on, because there's so much to say on that one.
So good.
And if you don't already subscribe, please do. Again, we right now are doing bi-weekly episodes of this podcast, but we're hoping to do weekly, right? So we're going to try to do that, because we're getting such a great response from you guys. So again, subscribe on your podcast streaming service wherever you listen. All right. Yes. So that's it for the Highland Fling, and we're off to record Megan's newest book. So you can catch us in
part two coming up
the next episode. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon.